There, send, share indefinitely. There you go.
There you go. At my location for 1 hour.
Why you only give it for 1 hour? What's wrong with you?
I
Hell's wrong with you? If I got to recover the body, you gotta share.
My friends.
Thank you for joining us for the PepCAC podcast. Hopefully, the Information Security Show featuring some all-around good people. It is week 14 of 2024. I'm Chris Lloyd, and happy April Fool's Day. With me, I have my co-host, Uncle Barbecue, who is back stateside and an hour and 45 minutes late, but looking sharp in his suit.
Dapper. Dapper. Well, guys, thank you so much. You're so, so kind. And yes, I'm back stateside. I don't know if I'm jet lagged yet, but I'm definitely ready to go back home. So I got home, I think, worked one day, tried to get my taxes done the next, and then got up this morning, flew to SoCal, and then going back tomorrow. I think my family's ready to see me. And then I come back next Monday. Life next Monday, I'll be rough. Right here in this exact same spot. I'm going to leave the
Sweet.
Suit.
Racking up those freaking flyer miles, Brian.
Yeah. If travel was smart, they would have just rented you a little room out there for the week and not have to save on
True.
flights.
It is Easter weekend. I don't know if anyone actually cares, but I don't
Is that
know.
A thing?
It's Good Friday today, right?
Apparently,
not tomorrow.
Happy
I think
tomorrow.
Had they asked Jesus, like, what should we call Friday? I don't think Good Friday would have been on his list of things as he's being nailed to a cross. So, food for thought.
Probably not. Isn't today technically Monday, Thursday? Then Monday, Thursday, and then Good Friday?
Maybe. I think. Oh, I know.
Well, happy Monday, Thursday to everybody observing that. And we have Glenn Medina, or should we call him 1 year older Glenn, or OYOG? Happy birthday, Glenn.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Feels weird to be at this number. I'll be honest with you. I didn't think I'd make it this far. I thought I would have croaked about 7 years ago. So,
just living on borrowed time, Glenn.
I am living on totally living on borrowed time, but having a great time doing it.
That's what's important.
Dude, that's crazy. I can actually say I know someone as old as you now. That's cool.
Just remember, Todd is still the oldest one.
Very true.
That's true. He's an old fart. That's why this passes his bedtime. That's why he's not here today.
It is.
Dentures and depends can only be so far away, Todd.
Well, obviously no guests this week, considering we're starting an hour and 50 minutes late from our normally scheduled start time. But we do have a awesome guest scheduled 2 weeks from now, so definitely stay tuned for that.
I'm so excited.
Combined, we have decades of information security experience out here, not just to educate, but to entertain. We got 3+1 awesome stories for you this week, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. This week, we're going to close the loop on a few topics. Then we'll talk about why you should barricade your door while you're in a hotel room.
No.
Or your VRBO at your best friend's house.
Why a smart helmet is not so smart. And close with beekeeper talk.
Well, as in the movie Beekeeper?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. There you go.
Closing the loop this week, we're going to replace one story with a few closing the loop items. Following up on our story 2 weeks ago about the grandmother who won $3+ million after the police raided and ransacked her house because they could not figure out how to use the Apple Find My, there's another story from St. Louis County about a family in a suburban home getting their door rammed in and a SWAT team ransacking their house looking for stolen goods. The probable cause for the no-knock warrant entry was that someone carjacked and stole a car containing firearms and a set of Apple AirPods, and those AirPods were tracked to a family's home using the Apple Find My app. The SWAT team expected to find the firearms by punching a basketball-sized hole in the wall or falling through a drop ceiling, but ended up coming up empty-handed. An hour and a half after the door was kicked in, the AirPods were found by in a nearby street. The carjackers probably threw them outside once they realized they could be used tracking them.
Did the SWAT team have the Incredible Hulk, a basketball-sized hole punch? Are you kidding me? That's incredible, dude.
Brian seems like someone who's probably put his fist through a drywall wall before. How big was the hole when you punched the drywall, Brian?
This the size of my fist.
The size of a fist, yeah. What do you think he's got?
Now, let's talk about the time I used my head. Now, that was the size of a basketball.
Now that explains why he's got a big dent in his head.
Yeah.
Still unbelievable story, right? I don't understand how they can't tell from the area or whatnot that, or even get close. I think that's what I'm having a hard time with, right? Because even find my iPhone, find my whatever. Especially my new AirPod Pros, I lose them all the time, and I use that to locate within inches of where it is.
So I think it's hit or miss. Did I ever tell you the story about when my daughter lost her AirPod Pros?
Yeah, you tried to get down to the house, yeah, and they eventually fessed up to it. It's sort of like, have we gone too far on the spectrum where we're not allowed to profile anymore? That you kick in the door, it's a suburban family that are just terrified out of their minds. Like, does this fit the profile of someone who would carjack someone and steal a car and steal firearms? Or do you think you might have the wrong house?
Common sense law? Was that the... have we lost it?
Or how about maybe just do the background? Like, whose house are we going to? Oh, it's not a rental property? These people have been here for 15 years? They pay their taxes? I don't know that I'm going in guns blazing, boys.
What about the car that got carjacked? Where's that car? It's like, put two and two together. That car's not here, but we're depending on the location of an AirPod.
Then an hour and a half later, they found it discarded in the street in front of the house. It's like, come on. At some point, common sense has to kick in.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree with the fact that you should be able to use those devices. I think there's got to be some way to say, listen, from a triangulation standpoint, things don't add up here, right? The people inside do not fit a criteria. So let's do a little bit more digging before we go breaking out doors.
Yeah, I'm all for profiling. It's like LL Airlines, like they do profiling. They have never been hijacked since they implemented this profiling. It's like, just like I said, you kick in the door and this family is just terrified out of their minds. Like, they don't fit the profile of a carjacking family.
Yeah.
My wife got interrogated by LL Airlines once.
That's because she brought a Bible with her, right? So.
she did bring a Bible. But no, the reason why, like, they couldn't figure it out. Like what's going on? And at the very end of, like, being pulled into a back room at the airport, they said, can you please explain to us why you select the meal that was for a rabbi? They're like, yeah, I remember seeing that. And it was kind of weird that it was the only thing that we picked, that it was the only option. They're like, yeah, you picked like a meal that's for ordained people only. Like, you're not clearly a rabbi. So whatever, right? They let her on the plane. And she said the funniest thing is, like, they're serving, you know, business class or first class and then coach people and whatever, the first person that gets served on this plane is who?
The rabbi. Her.
The rabbi. Yeah, my wife's getting a meal before anyone else. And it was like looking around, like, what the heck is going on? Have you guys ever had an experience where, like, so find my iPhone, find my AirPods. Like, if it's my device, it's spot on, especially like the AirTags, perfect.
Yeah.
But have you ever had a scenario where you look at a location of anyone, whether even yourself, and like the thing is just wildly inappropriately, like it's so far off, like there's no way I'm here?
Mine said a couple weeks ago, mine said that I was maybe at a neighbor's house down the street or in the greater area. But it also tells you the bubble, right, of where it thinks it might be.
Yeah.
For the phone. I don't know if it necessarily does that for the AirTags. But yeah.
I didn't find mine for the AirTags, and it's within inches. Like, it's just 5 feet away, 4 feet away, 3 feet away, 1 foot away. It's very accurate when you track your own devices.
Oh, yeah. I've experienced the same problems. Like, well, like, my wife's like, I can't find my phone. Can you ping it? So then I'll go to find my iPhone, and I'll go to ping it, and, like, the same thing, right? Like, it's showing, like, she's home. She's sitting next to me. The phone is clearly, like, on the floor underneath the couch, but it's showing that her phone is, like, you know, 300 feet, you know, east of us out in the desert for some reason. And then we play the sound, eventually find it. Like, another one that I've experienced too is Home Depot. I think it's like a giant Faraday cage, and anytime I'm in there, there's no internet, there's no way you can call me, anything like that. Like, and your location's wildly off, and we've experienced, and we've even tested that one out too, where
sitting out the parking lot as well.
No, so it was just AT&T, but we did experience. So I think it was my son brought the attention to me. And so we were messing around with it, and he was on T-Mobile, and it was the same thing. As soon as he walked in, like, it was just like, you might as well just fallen off the face of the earth.
I've had that happen in a Safeway. There's a Safeway in our neighborhood. You walk in and just Faraday cage, no signal, no find my whatsoever.
Yeah.
Maybe because they don't want you, like, scanning prices and then comparing them.
Pretty much, yeah. I've done that where I've checked out, and then I go to the front of the store and I scan everything to see if there's a coupon, because it won't work inside the store for some reason.
Yeah. Cheap bastard.
Terrible. Yeah, and I've only right. I've only experienced that in a retail location. I can't think of a time where I've just lost service. Maybe not even in a hotel room. Like, it might be crappy, but not, like, SOS mode. Which is what I get at the Home Depot.
Yeah, could be those big metal shelving that they have for everything that's causing that as well.
Could be
true.
Be
yeah, but I think most concrete buildings are going to be a disruption to any type of signal,
right? Unless you're on Verizon, who use, let's still use what, TDMA. Best signal.
No, they don't use that anymore.
Technology.
No, yeah. They don't. So Verizon doesn't use CDMA or TDMA.
Yeah, they're on GSM now with everybody else. Yeah.
Back in the day.
Some companies will actually put cellular repeaters inside their buildings. I know when I worked at a previous company, they did that.
Hotels will do that too. So, yeah, we covered that in a previous story where the hotels will just automatically join your Wi-Fi network. So they don't have to put additional cell towers up. They just attach you to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Still crazy thought that one day your house, your door or wall could be punched through with Hulk arms.
Basketball sized right? hole. So, yep.
Yeah.
Get those patches ready.
I imagine, like, give it 6 months, a year from now, there's going to be legislature again about no knock, about using, you know, location services from your smart device, and hopefully it'll get better.
I mean, it's just got to be that it has to be pinpoint accurate within feet, not within, like, four city blocks, like that poor grandma that got her door kicked in when we covered 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's got to be like,
what do you think they're going to pay for this?
They paid $3 million, right?
They paid $3 million for the other grandma. One. Yeah. Hopefully this family gets a similar settlement and they get their walls patched up and their roof patched up.
Taxpayer dollars at work, boys.
Yeah,
that's what that really means. Have you guys ever heard of, you know, of hearing rules and laws and stuff that should be changed? One that comes to mind is, I think it's called, like, force continuum. Do you know what that is?
No, yeah. I'll fill us in on that.
Okay, so the idea is, if you're a police officer, that if there's a threat coming at you in less than 20 feet, you're dead. Because by the time you take your gun out of your holster and you fire the trigger, you're already being stabbed.
Right. It's a 21
feet. So they have a rule. I think it's like 21 feet or 22 feet.
Yeah,
7 yards. So with that said, if that's applicable to them, why is that applicable to us for self-defense? Why do we have to be assaulted or stabbed first before we can shoot? I think that's a law that should be transcend both areas. But I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, the saying is better be tried by 12 than carried by 6. So do what it takes to defend yourself. Our next closing loop item, our good friend of the show and founder of crypto exchange FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, has been sentenced to 25 years in prison and ordered to forfeit $11 billion after he was sentenced today in what the judge called the largest corporate fraud in American history.
Friend of our show.
I'm sure he's a listener. I said. We've had some big fraud corporate cases, but it's crazy to think that we're actually living through the largest fraud right now. Last year's
taxation, April 15th.
Last year, Sam Bankman-Fried was convicted on 7 counts of fraud and money laundering. FTX customers may be made whole for their dollar amount lost, but their crypto holdings, but not their crypto holdings, so they may have missed out on the 300% gain in Bitcoin since FTX's collapse.
What would you rather have? Nothing, or at least what you had when this thing went down?
Yeah, I think this is definitely a case of beggars can't be choosers. At least you're getting some of your money back.
No kidding.
So let's say I had like 27 Bitcoin and it went up 65,000. I'd be pretty pissed that I lost out on that $1.7 million. Just saying. But, not that any of us actually have 27 Bitcoin, because Bitcoin's a scam. Well,
what would you rather have, 65,000 or nothing?
Zero, yeah. Again, initially when they had filed for bankruptcy, they're like, we don't know how much you're going to get back. You might get back zero, but at least they can say that they got back at least the dollar amount they had invested at the time of the collapse.
Yeah, it's not making me feel any better. If you're losing millions, man, that's rough.
Anyway,
you're right. I'd rather not have zero.
Yeah. Anyway, you put it, just losing anything is sucks, period.
When if you write that off at the end of the year?
I'm sure you can. I think the FTX people got to write that, or not the FTX, the Mt. Gox people. I think they got to write off their crypto losses. Someone I personally know that was part of the Mt. Gox downfall, they're actually getting their Bitcoin back. And I think they're actually getting the Bitcoin back, not the money back, so that they appreciated significantly over the years. So that was the ultimate HODL moment for them.
Wow. Can you imagine though, like you file taxes and you put this line item of this loss of your Bitcoin at FTX, and then you get audited. They're like, we're not going to count that. And like, you bitches are always asking if I bought, sold, or traded any crypto. And now you don't want to let me write it off. I don't know about this.
You'll take the money when I made the gain.
Yeah.
You don't write it
off. Oh, but all of a sudden.
Welcome to the American taxpayer system.
Oh, that's right. I don't know if there's anything else out there that's actually any better, though.
25 years. What do you guys think? Up, yay, nay? Should have gotten more.
Out in 12, and it should forever.
I think that's a little low, considering this is the largest bank fraud in history. Like Bernie Madoff got like 160 years, and he died in prison. And my personal feeling, I think Sam Bankman-Fried should have died in prison 25 years with good behavior. He is not going to serve as much as he should have.
Well, they were trying to get him 6 years, right? They're saying, he only needs 6 is what his defense was trying to say. And I was like, 6?
That's what they said. They said he's just a bad investor. That was their defense. Like, no, he knew what he was doing. This is a fraud. This is a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Like, they should have thrown the book at him. He should have spent basically life in prison, but he got 25 years. I mean, if he does 25, I'll probably be fine with that, but with good behavior and the way the prison system works here in the U.S., he'll probably be out a bit sooner than that.
So has he ever had any remorse for what he's done? Has he ever apologized for the craziness
that he's caused? No, that's part of what the judge sentenced him, wanted to throw the book at him. He said he perjured himself multiple times. He showed zero remorse on the stand. He was lying. He didn't say he was lying, but he said he stretched the truth quite a bit. And throwing the book at him was 25 years. I think he should have got a lot more. He showed zero remorse.
Wait. By the law, he could only give him 25 years. I mean, how many different laws did he break for $11 billion?
7 counts. seven counts of fraud and money laundering, but he does have to give up $11 billion. And, you know, 2 years ago, he was still sitting in a $30 million penthouse in the Bahamas, and now he's in a 6x6 cell in jail.
Yeah. But, I mean, they seized his assets. Where's he going to get $11 billion, right? I mean, he's got that sitting somewhere in some offline account.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
He has it all in the Bitcoin that he lost.
Yeah. He's got an NFT with $11 billion on it somewhere.
Someone's going to pay
for that. You know, I actually heard, do you guys know what his real defense was? They only got him to 25 years.
What was that,
Brian? I didn't do it. The Shaggy defense.
No, was it me?
Close. But no, they said if he puts like glasses on, then he looked like Egon from like Ghostbusters. And so they're like, oh, you know, let it slide.
Yeah, not going to fly in the district that he got sentenced in. All right, our third closing the loop story. Beware of tax season scams. It is tax season here in the U.S. This is our annual reminder to watch out for tax scams. The IRS will never contact you by phone, email, or text message. They will typically mail you a physical letter. The IRS also does not accept cash, Western Union, or gift cards. So beware of scammers out there looking to scam you during this tax season.
But do they take Bitcoin?
They definitely do not take Bitcoin.
Noted. Thank you. I got to go call someone real quick. I'll be right back.
You too? I got that call.
But you know, I haven't gotten too many IRS-related scams. I've gotten a bunch of romance scams over the last few weeks via text message, but no IRS-based scams.
The latest ones I've been getting are like the Amazon renew your credit card. I got a fast track one the other day. That's been going around. And PG&E, it's always, you know, like, hey, I haven't paid my power bill and they're going to shut my power down. But you look at the link and it's like, that's not even close.
Yeah, PG&E.suspectsite.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have anything. Maybe it's because I was out of the country and stuff didn't come in, but I have no idea.
Maybe, but watch out for those scams, Brian. All right, for our first topic, 100% and completely vindicating me by my co-host making fun of me for barricading a door, security researchers were able to create a master key card for a safe lock electronic RFID locks deployed in over 13,000 hotels and homes worldwide. The security researchers notified the lock manufacturer Dormkappa in November 2022 and only recently disclosed the flaw because it was taking so long for the manufacturer to roll out patches and fixes, and even longer for hotels to implement the upgrades. The affected models are used in 3 million doors on 13,000 properties in 131 countries, and while the manufacturer is actively working to mitigate the flaw, the process is complicated and time-consuming. The researchers say that the company started replacing and upgrading impacted locks in November of 2023, a full year after the initial disclosure, which requires reissuing all cards and upgrading their encoders. As of this recording, March 2024, 64% of the locks remain vulnerable.
So I don't know about vindicated, but let's play this out. Bad guy comes into your hotel room. The door is not barricaded. He's going to be like, hey, look, little Asian dude with the domino shirt and a Bitcoin necklace that's clearly fake. There's obviously no money here. And just go on to the next thing. That's how that would actually play out. Now, if it was barricaded, you know what he's going to do? Kick that door in. There's something valuable. I'm going to take that money. Little Asian dude with the Bitcoin shirt, or I'm sorry, domino shirt and Bitcoin necklace. That necklace is real.
Yeah.
I'm taking everything he's got. That's what's going to really happen, Christopher.
I just don't understand why the barricade was on the VRBO friend's door.
Just in case. I don't know. Did Brian have safe lock locks and they're vulnerable to this attack that somebody create a master key? Maybe, maybe not. Who knows?
I think
something must have happened to you as a Chris. So go ahead. Good, right?
You're gonna say something must have happened to him as a criminal.
Yeah, as a young criminal. In jail, he's learned to barricade the doors to the cell. Juvie. We got to go check Chris's record in juvie.
So I like the odds here, though. 64% of locks remain vulnerable. We got to figure out how to do this. I think I saw something briefly on Twitter about the exploit and replicating it using a flipper zero.
Yeah.
Did you guys see this as well?
Yeah. It basically requires two smart cards. So I think like one smart card resets the lock to factory defaults, and the other smart card has the default password on it. So you use these two key cards, and in sequence, those key cards can lock literally any door that has these safe lock locks that have not been upgraded yet.
You know what? Doors are not susceptible to this. Motel 6, because they still give you a
physical key.
All right, Glenn. You know a little too much about Motel 6. Vibrating beds.
That's the mitigation here. Stay at a Motel 6 and you need a physical metal key and not a key card.
Yeah. Yeah. Someplace like that, then I wouldn't mind Chris barricading the door with a bed. So.
It was that Black Hat or something. And they're like, make sure you lock up the cabinet. You know, got our stupid socks in here. And I was like, you know, it's the same key for all of them. They're like, no, it's not.
I'm
like,
every cabinet.
Yeah. I just walk over to another cabinet. It was like, you know, one of the competition. Maybe not. I have no idea. And just to prove it, took my key. That was another thing. Sure enough, it unlocked it. I'm like, this is security, folks. We could do better.
It's true. I was at a trade show once, and we couldn't find the person that had the key to unlock the locker that had all the swag in it, so we just asked our neighbors, like, hey, can I borrow your key? And then they said yeah. Then sure enough, it opened our locks too. It's one key for all the locks.
It's not like those are hardy locks. Come on, guys.
So did you guys know, like, if you go to like a Home Depot or Lowe's, and let's say that you're trying to rekey your house and you're doing several like perimeter doors, there's some code on there, but you can look at it, and basically it's the same key for every lock that you're buying. So if you just have to match it up, that way you don't have to rekey each lock. You're just like, I'm just buy three of the same because they're the exact same lock, which is wild if you think about it, because that means there's people out there that have a key to your house. Just a numbers game at this point.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was like 25, 100. There's like so many combinations of like quick sets and well, at least I know from quick set locks, like you go inside there, you can actually see number patterns that are same if you look at all the door locks, external door locks, that is.
Yeah. I mean, it is useful.
Chris, you've done lock picking, right?
Yeah, I've done lock
picking.
Well, how about you, Glenn?
A little bit at some time. Cool. Yeah.
I watched the lock picking lawyer and I'm like, I could do that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
LPL is legit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
is he the guy that shows up with different types of lock? Like the circular keys are the ones that are like, wow, that is amazing that you could pick those types of locks, or the keys that have, was it, no indentations, but they're keyed on the inside in order to turn the weights or whatnot that are inside there. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
I've seen. I don't know if that's him.
What amazes me is he's done several reviews of these master locks. It's like the hockey puck lock that you put on, you see on like the outside of trucks or something. He says that it's vulnerable to this attack that's over 100 years old, where you lift all the pins out of the way, you turn it using his special tool, and you just get into any of these master locks that
falls that hockey puck. It's a lock. Rake pick, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you rake it and hit it, and it just opens like really quick. Yeah. And you're like, what the heck?
Yeah. Security.
My favorite one is like, this is a Master Lock model number 416. You can open it with a Master Lock model 416. And he just takes a lock and then hits it with the other lock and it comes open. I'm like, that was amazing.
Yeah. But you know what can't unlock that lock? A door. I mean, not a bed in front of the door.
Exactly.
Right? So,
100% true. Vindicated.
So true.
Yeah. I wouldn't call yourself vindicated. We're still going to make fun of you, Chris.
Yeah. Let me go barricade my door, guys. I'm in a hotel right now. In Orange County. I wonder what could happen.
You should. You never know who's going to break in.
Right. I think that the biggest threat would be some rubber-faced monster coming in here looking for some lip filler, maybe. That's about it.
Yeah. Maybe. There's one thing that you know, I was reading. There's a, I don't know if you heard, the Mitch Rapp series by Vince Flynn. Pretty cool. He's a CIA kind of spy. Was trained to carry a door wedge or a door... what like is that called? It's a little wedge. Yeah, doorstop. And what the book described was basically he carries that inside of his backpack, and then when he checks into a hotel or goes into a room, he slides that in there instead of moving a bed, right? So it's a lot easier, a lot lighter, and it's a sure way to at least stop a little bit of something before they can fully enter the room.
You know, I make fun of Chris, but yeah. I used to have like this modem that could jump on, like you would Bluetooth it to your computer, I think, and then you would use that to go to join the hotel Wi-Fi and then go through the acceptable use policy. Uh-huh. And then you put the router on there, and then I would take that, and then I would plug in a Wyze camera to that that had full pan, tilt, and zoom, and then I would put it in my hotel room, and then I would always leave, and I would say no service, and then I would catch house speakers coming into the room, even says do not disturb or don't give me service, and they'd see the camera and they just immediately make a beeline, turn back around. Always a Marriott property too, by the way.
So Marriott does not honor that do not disturb sign.
They don't?
No, not in my case.
Oh wow. I've had it honored where they don't come in. Maybe I don't.
Do you have video evidence?
You're suspicious, there, Brian. No, I don't.
So how do you know they're not getting in?
Yeah, you'll never know unless you just sit in your hotel room all day like a weirdo, like Chris,
in a robe, barricading himself
in a kimono.
Yeah.
All right, for our second topic, the makers of a smart helmet for skiing and motorcycles is coming under fire for not implementing basic security measures. LiveVault makes helmets that allow groups of people to locate each other and communicate over Bluetooth. This is a useful feature if you're going skiing in a group and you want to find out where the rest of the group is. However, when security researchers dived into the API used for location tracking, they found that the only thing required to join someone's friends group is a 6-digit group ID number. 6 digits are easy to guess, so the security researchers just did the enumerated numbers until they found an active group and joined it. There was no notification to the other members of the group, and no further authentication was required. The security researchers were then able to locate the other users in that group with their smart helmets. So, good job on that.
I was just
who on cares? A
just, you know,
is it, am I?
No, yeah. it's indicative of selling browsers. Like, why would you care about this? Us security people? You know, this is you know, a little bit more security focused. No, I get it. It actually was funny. Is I was on a plane, I was fussing around with stuff on my international flight, and you can actually message any nearby seat.
Yeah.
All you need is the seat number, baby. And I was like, man, can you imagine some weirdo just like, hey, I got 10D, if you know what I'm saying. You know, this random, just like sending that out there. Seat 10D, Glenn, I know where your head's at.
But or yeah. Was it 20, 26 double D?
Yeah. It's zinger. Stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. Here's one thing that will never happen to me. You'll never catch me skiing or riding a motorcycle. So I'm not too concerned about it. And also, you have to think about the demographic of these people that are using this. Like, I don't know too many tech geeks that are doing, well, maybe some skiing. I don't know. They're usually outdoorsy. They smell. Motorcycle dudes. I can't see a Hell's Angel. Well, number one, there's no Hell's Angel user. You know, they're rolling without the helmet. And then two, can you imagine trying to tell them, like, here's our group ID, and then here's the password. Their minds are going to explode.
I got to go look this up, because I've got a motorcycle helmet. I've got Bluetooth. I don't have the location services turned on that, though. So
you have a Liveall? I've got to go Liveall?
Check. No, it's not. Oh. It's a Bell. So
yeah, it's a specific brand that has this location service turned on that you can just go out there and find out where your other friends are.
Yeah. I just wonder if the communication... So on mine, the communication device is different than the helmet itself. So I guess you can have different helmet manufacturers, but the same communication device that's inside there. I'll have to go look that up.
So yeah, they probably OEM it to all the helmet vendors out there. So it allows you to talk over Bluetooth, but it also allows you to find other riders or other skiers out there just in case somebody gets lost.
So my Razor has a feature where you can be in a group of people, and then you basically share your location when you're off-roading. That way you can see the little dots on the screen for the GPS. Unfortunately, I don't have enough friends that actually have Razors, so I don't know how it actually works if there's a password. But I would venture to guess it's probably that very similar. Just this literally type in your group ID and you're probably connected. I doubt there's much to it.
Yeah, once the manufacturer was notified of this vulnerability, they changed it. So it's no longer just a six-digit group ID. They added additional authentication layers. So begs the question, why didn't it just do this from the beginning?
So outside of tracking somebody, which is bull crap, because like maybe you're going to get 50, 70 feet, like that, whatever. Like if you're being stalked by somebody and they're that close to you already, like you should have known, right? And then maybe they can eavesdrop, but again, they have to be within a certain proximity. I guess maybe in a location. No, again, you're like, you're skiing down the side of a hill, you're on a motorcycle, you're going to be aware of people that are eavesdropping.
1200 meters. Is it 1200 meters?
That's pretty far.
Over Bluetooth?
I don't know. Well, it's signal, right? It's not... 1200 meters, a wide range of 1200 meters.
So for Bluetooth, you're saying this thing, 1200 meters on Bluetooth now?
Yeah. Yeah, seamless Bluetooth intercom, but connect with fellow riders within a range of 1200 meters.
Probably connected to your Zigabee smartphone.
Yeah, it looks like the helmets connect to one another and create kind of a mesh.
Yeah. Using that, you can at least pinpoint to where a person is. They're on a specific slope or they're on a specific road that they're riding their motorcycle on. So pretty creepy that you could just enumerate any six-digit code and find out where everybody is.
So how can we avoid this? The image of the helmet looks like it was used in Star Wars. You're flying... Did you guys notice that at all?
Yeah, the lighting, is that what you're saying?
No, it's like a white helmet with like an orange stripe. Like it looks like it was in Star Wars.
Like the part of the Rebel Alliance trying to fight the Empire.
Who knows?
This one was a cool one, though.
Oh, that's a different one. I was looking at the article.
Yeah. I just went and looked up their helmets. So
have you guys ever watched Spaceballs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who hasn't? Schwartz. Come on, man. That's classics. Yeah.
Well, number one, you guys recommended a horrible movie by the name of Beekeeper. So I had, you know.
Horrible? What? Oh, come on.
Spoiler alert. Get out of here. Yeah, we'll get to it at the end. So I didn't know about you guys' movie taste. So I'm not getting out of nowhere. You guys get out of here.
I mean, to be fair, you did like Barbie. You thought Barbie was awesome.
I didn't watch Barbie. Chris did, though.
I did not watch that, Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling is a good-looking dude, though, gotta say.
Oh, God. Did you just say that?
Objectively. You gotta admit that. Objectively.
I'm going to pull your man card right now, Chris. Totally pulling your man card.
You know, I don't know that I can definitively say if someone, like another dude, is attractive. But every once in a while, there is a dude that you'll see and you'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's Ryan Gosling.
Like, yeah. I just know it. I don't know if it's Ryan Gosling, but you can see it sometimes. You just like walk and everyone's turning their head. You're like, what the hell?
It's a high maintenance dude.
Yeah. Like you, Glenn. That's why I was trying to give you a compliment here, buddy. It's you.
I'm not. Okay. Have you seen what I'm wearing right now?
You're a Hugh Hefner smoking jacket, Glenn.
That's right.
True. True.
We are recording nearly midnight at night. So I'll give you a pass on that one today, Glenn.
It's next week when we record in the middle of the day. If I'm still wearing this, let's see how it goes.
I'll see. All right, on that note, for our last topic, it will be a rotating topic every week. This week, we're going to talk about the movie The Beekeeper. During Brian's round the world trip, he finally watched the movie starring Jason Statham about a phishing attack gone wrong. The premise of the movie is Jason Statham is a retired beekeeper, both in the literal and figurative sense. A beekeeper is a secret agent operative that does whatever needs to be done to keep the world safe, often outside the chain of command. When his retired neighbor falls victim to a common tech support scam, she loses her life savings and $2 million that belonged to a charity she ran. She ended up taking her own life, and the rest of the movie is Jason Statham acting as a one-man army to burn down that phishing operation. Now, I think Woo-hoo! That Glenn and I thoroughly enjoyed this movie, but Brian has some mixed feelings about it. So let's hear and see what the group thinks.
I'll let you go first. Yeah. To me, the call centers, the scamming call centers were just, it seemed to me, spot on. And the way they were getting motivated and being talked down to by, you know, the regional director or whoever that person was in charge was, it had a lot of similarities to real life.
Yeah, that was he definitely aligned with some of the regional directors we've had to work with, Glenn. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how much did you close? 200,000? I'm going to. And you're like, oh my God.
I love you. You didn't close that deal? Oh, you're killing me here. You're killing me. You didn't close that deal?
Yeah.
You guys are terrible. I had such high expectations because Glenn's like, or Chris is like, I've watched four times already. It's like, oh, this movie must be good. Now, opening with Claire Huxtable. All right. I'm leaning in a little bit. Who doesn't like, you know, America's Mom from the early 80s, late 90s? Or I'm sorry, late 80s, early 90s. And then the acting was the worst I've ever seen in my entire life. Chris, you did a better job acting-wise of describing what the F a beekeeper is compared to the FBI agent that was trying to illustrate this in her infinite wisdom and terrible acting. Like, it felt like she was reading off of a cue card. I couldn't relate to it whatsoever. And then when the other beekeeper to show up to kill the other beekeeper, I'm like, dude, there is no way. This is Jason Statham. That is a chick on meth. This fight, the only thing that happened right there was that this fight should last about 30 seconds because there's no way in hell, no matter how badass you are, that Jason Statham is losing to this chick. And sure enough, I think he put her down in about a minute. Thank God. I almost turned it off. If she remotely put his life at risk, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I got to turn this thing off. It was so bad. It was so bad. I was looking to see if Nicolas Cage was out. Like, it was just terrible. Terrible. Jason Statham running around. Like, it gave me what was the one that he did, like, the adrenaline, and just running around like that
Crank.
Lunatic, just, yeah, right. He's like, Crank. It was like Crank.
They made a sequel of that.
Good action.
It was so good, they made a Crank 2. Okay.
Was it with Jason Statham as well?
Yeah, it was Jason Statham. He made a Crank 2. They found some way to, oh, like, continue this story arc that morphed into a sequel.
Yeah.
It was, what was the movie with Matt Damon?
Good Will Hunting.
Which one?
Yeah, no. Close. No, the one where he's like a fighter guy. Like he's
oh, Bourne. Out. The Bourne yeah. series.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I feel like they're sitting around in, like, not even a coffee shop when they came up with this idea conceptually. They're probably doing ayahuasca or maybe DMT. They're like, how about Jason Bourne, but he's a beekeeper, right? They're like, yeah, what the F is a beekeeper? You know, and they're like, we'll make up this story about how he's here to save the colony regardless of what's going on. And then we'll tell it really crappy. Yeah, no thank you.
I think you were... The plot was, but you know, the idea was just the fact that the comedy of the storyline around phishing, right? Around these call centers that are making a bunch of money, right? And take that and then like take that and it's actually someplace else where they're running these things from, right? It's just the fact that some of that garners some similarities and
there's a data analytics company, Mom. And the mom is the president of the United States. Are you kidding?
Spoiler alert, Brian.
Yeah.
Trust me, there's no spoiler. Like this show was insanely stupid. Like it was really far out there.
I watched this movie and I was watching it. So I was watching it on the couch. My wife was working on her laptop and she's just passively listening to it. And she's, oh, that's just wrong what they do to people out there and try to prey on their emotions. And I said to her, like, this is the unfortunate thing. Like this
that's
is
real.
It's extremely accurate on how these tech support scams work. They said they say things like, oh my gosh, you took my money. I'm going to lose my job. My kids are not going to eat. Like they prey on people's emotions like that. And they prey on these retired people, these elderly people on their emotions. Like it's extremely accurate in that aspect. Now, Jason Statham beating up a bunch of security guards, maybe not so much, but the way they portrayed the actual hack, the phishing scam, like it is extremely accurate on how these tech support scams work.
I think you're dumb for believing that the call center looks like that. It is probably more like a gas station bathroom floor
with all the Zoom calls on the wall.
Like it was insane. Yeah.
Well, you've seen Pierogi, right? Have you seen any videos of Pierogi when they're filming
scam people?
Yeah, they're not sitting they're not sitting in a call center that looks like that. They're sitting in some office in India that's got chairs and desks, and it looks like a regular call center, except it's...
Oh, my gosh. I accidentally sent you $50,000. You have to send me $50,000 back. I'm going to lose my job. My kids are not going to eat. You're a grandma. You remind me of my grandma.
Yeah. All with an accent, though. So
the craziest part, did you guys notice she was using the island browser when she got fished? I'm just kidding, Glenn. That was her chance to protect her.
Oh man! But I could have swore I saw ZCC sitting in the corner. So when that happened,
oh no, that's what blocked it all. You know, she had to turn that off. She was coached to turn that off, just like she was coached to turn off the island browser and open up Firefox.
So I will admit,
they made it seem way too simple.
I will admit, Brian. So the FBI agents seemed a little inept and not great acting, but Jason Statham, top-notch fight choreography, action sequences. Highly recommend people watch this movie.
Yeah. Take it for what it is.
At all.
Yeah, take it for what it is, Brian. I think you were just trying to read too deep into it like Barbie. So,
what are the odds? Like think about this guy. So the person they scam is the mother. Not only does she have all this money, she's also sitting on $2 million for some charity that helps out burn victims of children and bone cancer. I have no idea. Something to pull on your old heartstrings. But who is her daughter, right? Oh, it's an FBI agent. And who is her tenant that she's renting out to? Jason Statham, who's a beekeeper, apparently. But like the story's so far.
Retired. And they go, retired beekeeper. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your name? I'm the beekeeper. Like, it's just like, oh, and guess what? He's a ghost. It sounds way too much like Jason Bourne.
All right, Brian. Well, you have to have the willful suspension of disbelief to believe this movie. But you got to admit, action sequence top notch.
Yeah.
Nah, it's played out. I feel like I've seen it a thousand times already. Yeah. I mean, getting into
like John Wick.
The building, it was like, you know, or the Oval Office. I forget where he was going. It was so, like, whatever. Like, getting in there, like, that was, I guess that was pretty cool. Not believable at all, but I liked it.
Yeah. Well, the fact that he burned down a call center, I thought that was awesome. I was cheering. I was like, yeah, he burned it down.
Literally, yeah. Literally burned it down.
Literally, yeah.
A $30 million data center or call center.
Yeah. Yeah. But you got to admit, the guy wearing the goat suit, like, that represents people we actually know.
Yes. You could call out identified folks that would act that way inside of a meeting. Inside of a forecast call.
Hey, not anymore. They all left. Why are you trying to say me?
No. In the movie, he's like, I'm going to call my boss.
Oh, okay. So a reference you'd only know if you watched the movie four times.
Yeah.
That's right.
And people we actually know that behave that way. Yeah. Overall, 10 out of 10, highly recommend. People watch that movie if they haven't seen it already.
1 out of 10. If you're
drunk,
like if you're drunk, you maybe ate an entire meatloaf or lasagna, and you just want something to kill the time as that food slowly passes through your lower bowels. Then yes, have a.
So have you watched Michael Mann's movie Black Hat with Chris Hemsworth?
That was a yawn.
Yeah, so that was a turd of a movie. This was like 100 times better than Black Hat.
Well, the problem with Black Hat, going back to Chris's statement of attractive men, Chris Hemsworth is probably one of those dudes that I'm like, you're way too good looking there, brother, to be this guy. Like, you just stare at the mirror.
So. I've never seen a security guy look that good. Is that what you're saying?
A little bit, yeah. It's just like
they're usually like fat, got a beard, a little pudgy.
The Hawaiian shirt and the ponytail.
They look like me and they smell like expired mustard, right? Like, it's just
oh, man.
All right. So 1 out of 10, 10 out of 10, what's your rating, Glenn?
I would give it a 7, simply because of some of the acting. But the storyline and the some of the scenes were just out there, like, totally could relate.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
I think if I had my choice to watch Toy Story or that movie again, I'd watch Toy Story.
Beekeeper, 10 out of 10. Highly recommend.
Coming from a security practitioner that wants to stop phishing, you'd think you'd be on board with that whole thing.
Yeah.
No.
But no, I mean, he'd rather watch Barbie. It's okay.
Maybe if that movie somehow raises awareness and makes old people less susceptible to phishing, then I'll knock that up to a 3 out of 10.
All right. Good enough. So hopefully we'll do a service out there and look out for elderly people out there. Do not fall for these tech support type scams. If you see a pop-up on your browser that says you've been infected and call this 1-800 number, 100% is a scam. Close the window. Not real.
Chances are it's not even 1-800. I bet you it's like 1-844. Like, it's like you're paying probably for it. You have no idea.
Yeah.
All right, well, we continue to get great comments about our dad joke of the week.
Dad joke of the week.
This week, Glenn's up.
So this one, I can't remember if Brian did this one already, but we'll give it a go.
All right.
What's the difference between a dirty bus stop and a lobster with breast implants?
I did not do this one.
He definitely did not do this one. All right, what's
all right.
I love it, though. The suspense is...
One's a crusty bus station, and the other is a busty crusty.
Winner.
There you go. I got that from my middle daughter. She gave it to me right before the show. So. All right.
Well, cheers.
Kudos to Harley. Yeah,
cheers to Harley. Thank you for that joke. All right. To wrap things up, Apple Find Me is not accurate. Sam Beckman fraud was sentenced to 25 years. beware of tax season scams. Hotel doors can be unlocked with a master key. Smart helmets aren't. And in Glenn and my opinions, The Beekeeper is a must-see movie. That's all we have for this week. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. You can find us all on LinkedIn. Links will be in the description. Follow us on Instagram at PepKek Podcast. Thank you to all listeners and subscribers who rated us 5 stars in the iTunes Store and Spotify and left us a review. We appreciate you all spreading the word to help grow the show. The best way to find us is to search for the PepKek Podcast in your favorite podcast listening app. My co-host Brian Deesh and Glenn Medina. I'm Chris Louie. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next weekend. As always, have a nice day.
Bye, Felicia.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Yo.
Have a nice day.